if somebody says, James, why do you split step like that? And then they imitate my split steps. That's kind of the opposite of the newsletter. That is my least favorite thing to hear. I don't know why I split step. I've had a bunch of people telling me to stop split stepping. They're like, James, it's annoying to watch. I don't like watching you because you keep split stepping and bouncing and hopping so much. And my answer is, well, then don't watch. Get a life. You know, don't watch. Why are you watching pickleball?
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gon' give them what they came for. We gon' take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
All right, guys. So now I have a microphone. So this is kind of a big deal. People have just been, you know, I've had a lot of comments of like, you know, he's got no microphone. He's got no visual representations. He's got really not a lot. And those comments were right. I was not really bringing a lot to the table. I was just kind of looking into the camera and talking. So we're getting better step by step here. Now we've got a microphone. We'll see if anything else improves this year. We might have to wait next year until I have a better camera or whatever it is. I don't really know, but we're doing our best here. We're going to improve baby steps. So first we're going to talk about PPA Atlanta. PPA Atlanta was interesting because Anna and I lost in the finals of mixed doubles again. So it was actually not that interesting because that seems to be what happens every time. I think we've now made it. So we've played 5 full tournaments together this year because I was injured. We would have played more. We made the finals 4 out of 5 times, which is good, but it's also a little annoying because we haven't won any of them. So we're going to try to figure out how to win. I got to probably start watching my own podcast more, subscribing to my own newsletter. I don't really know. One thing I do want to say, though, is that I am super grateful, super thankful at this last tournament in Atlanta. There was a ton of people who came up to me and said that they really appreciated my newsletter. They, you know, there was a guy who just kind of ran by me. He was about to go on court. He's like, James, I love your emails. I just won my first round. Like, so, you know, it's great to hear. It's really my favorite thing to hear at these tournaments. Sometimes I'm not the best with fans at the tournaments because I'm super busy and I'm like always in a rush because I'm, you know, one of the things about these PPAs is you never actually know when you're going to play. There's not really as much of a set time as there is just once this match finishes, you're just going to get called and you got to go play. So it's kind of hectic. I think that we're kind of working through ways to make these days a little more efficient. I know it's a little more efficient with progressive draws, but still it's tough. Sometimes people are asking me for pictures. I can't really take them, or I'm like, come on guys, let's do it quickly. But if somebody says they watch the podcast or if they read the newsletter, those are my two favorite things. I've always got time for them. And if somebody says, James, why do you split step like that? And then they imitate my split steps. That's kind of the opposite of the newsletter. That is my least favorite thing to hear. I don't know why I split step. I'm just rambling, guys. But I've had a bunch of people telling me to stop split stepping. They're like, James, it's annoying to watch. I don't like watching you because you keep split stepping and bouncing and hopping so much. And my answer is, well, then don't watch. Get a life. You know, don't watch. Why are you watching pickleball? Do something else. That's my real answer. It might not be the most popular answer. We might have to cut that out, Josh. But either way, it's I can't stop split stepping. My muscle memory is so ingrained that if I try to not do it and I kind of try to just stand still, my feet just don't move. My game, I just start making a bunch of errors. Like at this point, I can't change anything. I've played way too much just like this, and I'm not going to change anything because things are going pretty well as they are. So please stop telling me to stop split stepping. That's all on that front. So we got to the finals, and I think one of the things that was really good for me this past week was resetting. I felt super comfortable resetting the ball, dropping the ball in from anywhere. And I would encourage you guys at home to really find, you know, where you feel comfortable resetting, whether it's off the bounce or if it is out of the air, because I was teetering back and forth Anna likes to reset more out of the air. There are some players who are great resetting out of the air, for example, at Colin Johns or in Anna. And then there's some people who feel a lot more comfortable resetting off the bounce. Pickleball is an unsolved game. I don't know if resetting off the bounce or out of the air is better, if you should necessarily look for one or the other. But for me personally, I found, especially this week, just committing to resetting off the bounce when it makes sense, unless it's coming right at you, has been super helpful for me. Kind of just seeing where the ball is coming, tracking it, waiting for it to just bounce right away. And then right as it's bouncing, just kind of short hopping it and pushing it forward, resetting it in. I had a ton of success with that this weekend. I felt way more comfortable with my resets. My resets have been not a talent of mine. It is, you know, the hand stuff, the power stuff came right away, but resetting has taken me years at this point. And I feel like I'm definitely starting to hit my stride with it. So if I were you, I would just go out there and, you know, drill a bunch of resets off the bounce, drill a bunch of resets out of the air, and whichever one feels more natural or more comfortable for you, just commit to it for a month or 2 months. And I think you'll be very surprised, pleasantly surprised with how things go, because getting rid of that question of, you know, do I take it out of the air? Do I let it bounce? I think it can, if you just focus on one thing, it can make things a lot easier and a lot more simple. So another thing that was huge for me was the serve this weekend. I hit a bunch of aces, and people aren't really used to aces with serves, you know? And I think that it's the serve wasn't really intended to be a weapon in pickleball. There's been a bunch of rules that have been changed and kind of rearranged so that the serve has, you know, is not a weapon, right? 2 years ago, you were allowed to spin the ball in your hand. You could toss it way up in the air and you could serve it from, you know, your higher than your waist. And then in 2022, late 2022, they got rid of the spin serve. And then in 2024, now you have to toss the ball from your hip height and then it has to go directly downward. And that's how you serve. So they're trying to sort of, you know, take away the effectiveness of the serve. And my answer to that has been to toss the ball more in front and to use my legs to transfer my weight forward to the target. I think the weight transfer is so important with the serve. I really can't stress it enough. There are a ton of pros out there who are still not really transferring their weight on the serve. And that doesn't mean that you can't have an open stance serve facing directly toward the target. I think that's a good way to have more control. But if you really want to maximize the power on the serve, I would recommend transferring your weight from your back foot, which would be your dominant foot, to your front foot, which would be your non-dominant foot, and then finishing with your original back foot, which is your dominant foot, into the court. So we're going to have a visual representation for that. There actually already is one on my YouTube channel, so you could check that out. I think it's the weight transfer could not be more important on the serve. If you're not So before we get into this episode, we have to tell you about a must have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you are missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. So get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lesson courses, podcasts like mine, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily, from gripping PPA tournament matches like the ones that I'm in, or live coverage of a grandstand court to insightful player interviews? Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. And if you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to download the app today. Okay, so we have had to now switch back to the original mic. We've had to switch back to the original camera now. We had a new camera for about 7 minutes and 13 seconds. That is all my new camera wanted to do for me. I think this podcast is cursed. I think that this podcast was not meant to be a high tech, high quality podcast. And that's okay. We're just about pickleball information. That's all we really got. So we're going to get back into it here on the serve. The weight transfer on the serve could not be more important. There are still a ton of pros who do not transfer their weight fully on the serve. And I think that's going to be one of the things that changes. I think, you know, in tennis, for example, everyone serves the same way in the sense that they are using their legs to push forward. Some of them have a platform stance to start, which means that both of their feet are on the ground and then they still jump and they really get it. And obviously you can't jump on a pickleball serve, but this is just an example that on a tennis serve, they either start platform or they start with a split stance. Either way, they're bringing their weight forward toward the target. They are using their legs on the serve, right? No matter how you want to slice it, there's not a single top 100 tennis player that does not use their legs in some capacity on the serve. And in pickleball, that's not the case. There's still a lot of pickleball players who aren't really using their legs. They're not really using their weight transfer properly on the serve. And they're just not getting the most out of it because, again, pickleball for most of its history, the serve wasn't really meant to be a weapon at all. And I'm somebody who fully believes that it should be a weapon. I'm hitting it as hard as I really can, you know, and I think that if you can transfer your weight on the serve, you will get a lot more power on it. And I think another way to do it is to toss the ball more in front. So one of the things that I'm seeing at these clinics a lot is people who don't feel like they're hitting their serve enough or hard enough, they're tossing the ball too close to their body. So the closer that you toss the ball to your body, the harder it is to transfer your weight forward toward a target. If you are already tossing the ball out here in front of your body, you're kind of forcing yourself to bring your weight forward through the target. And I think that's a great way to train yourself to transfer your weight properly. And we do have a visual representation on my YouTube channel of me transferring my weight. It's not actually that complicated. And I think one thing that will help you transfer your weight is to go out there on the court with no paddle. This is a great drill, by the way. I actually did this drill a lot. I used to have a horrible serve. I did this drill a ton, and then I sort of started to figure it out this way. So I would, you know, if you're going to remember anything from this podcast, remember this drill. So get out there without the paddle, just a bunch of pickleballs, no paddle. And then you get where you would normally stand when you serve, so right behind the baseline. And then I want you to not use your legs at all and throw a ball underhand as hard as you can. Just toward the net. Hopefully you'll make it over the net, right? You want to go, you know, as far as you can and as hard as you can without using your legs. And you'll see how far you throw it. But the rule is you cannot use your legs at all. Now, I want to just see, you know, out of curiosity, how you would throw the ball underhand if I told you that, you know, your life was on the line, you had to throw it as far as you possibly could. You have to throw it over the fence, right? You wouldn't just stand there straight up and just throw it like that. You would probably use your legs to transfer your weight. I mean, how would you, and think about it, how would you personally go about throwing a ball or, you know, if it's a cornhole toss, whatever it is, throwing it as far as you possibly can underhand. Any object, throw it as far as you possibly can underhand. I'm pretty sure you would use your legs, right? You would use some shoulder turn. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I think this is actually a good drill for you to figure it out on your own because, again, there's not a lot of visual representations on this podcast. I'm just talking to you. I think it's good for me to give you a tool here for you to use. So this is the tool. Go out there and throw a pickleball as far as you possibly can underhand. And then whatever you did with your legs and with your shoulder hand or your shoulders, whatever you did, I want you to then replicate that movement with a pickleball paddle in your hand and then hit a serve. So that's the key. You want to serve the ball just like you would be throwing a ball underhand as far as you can. Okay, so now we're going to get into our last topic, which is the backhand ATP. I have gone back and forth on this, and I've decided that the best backhand ATPs are hit with two hands. You'll see people hit backhand ATPs with one hand if they got a reach, but it's just such a, you know, it's way more difficult of a shot to hit. I've been hitting two-handed backhand ATPs the last few weeks almost exclusively, and I've had a lot more success with it because my left hand, my offhand, I can really get around the ball, and I can get a lot more just control, I think, and power with it. If you're using one hand trying to cup it around or slice it, it's tough. I really wouldn't slice ATPs as much because ATPs, you know, the whole point of why they're effective is because they're so low, right? Because you don't actually have to clear a net. They're so low. Well, a slice kind of travels up a little bit. You kind of take away that advantage from yourself. So for me, you know, I tried to experiment with a one-handed backhand ATP because you can reach farther. right? And if you really have to reach, and if you're really in a tough spot when you're trying to hit a backhand ATP, I suppose that you can use one hand. But if you have time and you're just standing there and you can reach, you know, with two, I would highly recommend using two hands. If I were to make a prediction, I think that in a year or two, backhand ATPs are going to be taught to use, you know, almost exclusively two hands. Pickleball is such a young sport, and there's still so many different things that are not really consensus, right? There's almost nothing that's consensus in pickleball because it's always evolving and changing. But one of my predictions is definitely that the two-handed backhand ATP will just be a superior shot, because it's the same thing as a two-handed backhand counter when you're out wide, right? If it's over here, you can't really reach as far. It's just tough to generate power from that motion right there. You put a second hand on it, you can actually add power and control. It's one of the only situations where both things are enhanced. So I would say get comfortable. If you are hitting a backhand ATP, get comfortable doing it with two hands, because it's a lot easier than with one. That's all we got for today. Sorry about the camera troubles. We're going to try to figure that out one day. Maybe it's going to be next year. I don't know anymore. Thanks for watching, guys.